today on the TMZ Podcast.
Welcome to the TMZ Podcast. Derek and Eric here. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I want to start with some very, very sad news and very sudden news that we got late in the day yesterday. Kirstie Alley passed away at the age of 71. Now, I was thinking about it as I was driving home. I get this alert, and I think, you know, to the people in our room who are much younger than us, I don't think she's a name that really resonates. But to people our age, she was a sort of a towering figure. She had this period where she was the biggest thing in television, movies, untouchable, sort of bridge that gap between film and television during an era when it was, those were largely separate spheres.
Yeah.
But she did both. She came on Cheers in season 6. Do you remember this?
Yeah, she was the replacement
for Shelley Long.
For Shelley Long, which, you know, that was, she was like sort of doomed to failure at that.
Yeah.
And she succeeded at it. And I kind of prefer the Rebecca years to the Sam and Diane.
Look, the show lasted for 11 seasons, so she basically served as much time on the show as Shelley Long, and it's as much her show, maybe even a year more.
Yeah.
And Cheers, you know, it's one of those, it's not lost to time, but I think people appreciate Seinfeld and Friends, but Cheers, before them, was this juggernaut.
The
show that everyone watched, the show that spawned a sort of, you know, spin-offs. Frasier, one of the largest shows in history, is a spin-off of Cheers. It's just a character from Cheers who had his own show that was also a gigantic show. So Kirstie Alley, also in one of my favorite movies personally, I wanted to sort of touch upon Look Who's Talking, because if you were my age, that movie was everything. It was the talking baby. She was the put-upon mother sort of in the workplace. It had George Segal. It had Bruce Willis as the voice.
John Travolta,
who posted a touching tribute to her. He's had a tough time
recently.
I
saw the headlines like John Travolta post about, you know, his co-star that he'll see again. Like, he just said that about Olivia Newton-John.
He just lost Olivia Newton-John. And you know, that for John Travolta, these were two towering figures in his life, because he was always sort of, he was opposite Olivia Newton-John, obviously, in Grease and here in Look Who's Talking, which sounds like a throwaway comedy, but it really didn't feel that way at the time.
It was a huge hit.
It had a sequel and everything with, who was the baby in the sequel?
Roseanne
Barr. Yeah. So, I mean, this movie was not just like a small indie comedy. These were big, big comedies.
And then she had Veronica's Closet. It was another show on NBC. And so she died at 71 after a battle with colon cancer. So very surprised. I think that's the thing. It was surprising to people.
She was
very private about that. It was apparently a short illness.
Yeah, it can be very, very sudden. My father passed away from colon cancer. You should get your colonoscopies. They're very, very important. But apparently a very quick sort of aggressive cancer, I would assume, and a swift illness that took her life. Now, I want to talk a little bit about Kirstie Alley, because you also have to sort of put her in context.
She was polarizing.
She was polarizing.
Here's the thing.
Tell me a little bit about the other side of Kirstie Alley.
So she was very, very outspoken, very conservative.
Scientologist,
and she was a troll. In a fun sense, she enjoyed being a troll with people. She had no problem taking on her haters, and sometimes, you know, I did not always agree with her.
Yeah, look, she vocally supported Trump and Giuliani for a period, although retracted her support of them at some point and said, like,
she supported Kanye like a month ago.
Right.
Before he went really far afield,
Kirstie Alley was on his team.
There were definitely things I disagreed with her about, but it's one of those things where I also loved so many things about her.
Yes, I know.
I mean, obviously just the shows we grew up with, watching the movies. And for me, as a Prince fan, you know, she appeared on one of his albums as a reporter in a bunch of segues, trying to get an interview with him. I always loved that.
She was complicated, but she wasn't hateable. Yes, she had these sort of troll tendencies, but I was able to separate it with Kirstie Alley for some reason that I'm not able to do with other celebrities, because she had this persona that was sort of brassy and outspoken in most of her roles. Rebecca on
Which is what I loved about her.
Which is what you loved about her. She had this little raspy voice, and she was sort of like, you know, very feisty. And it sort of matched with her personality, which sometimes got sort of offensive.
Like, well, I'm not going there with you, ma'am. But
right, but it was Kirstie Alley, and you sort
Kirstie
of like,
Alley.
She was like loud and outspoken. So I loved
Kirstie
Alley.
And she, you know, was a huge advocate for animals.
Yes.
And I always admired that about her. And she loved her grandchildren and always posted about like liking to cook for her grandchildren and things.
Yeah.
And one thing, and I don't want this to seem insensitive here, but remember she had a show called Fat Actress years ago? And it was sort of a fictionalized version of herself, because there was a point, Kirstie Alley was a stunningly beautiful woman.
Yes.
And there's a point where she gained some weight. And then she sort of made a show about that, because so many people came after her. It was cruel. It was mean. People were horrible to her. I remember that being
for
like,
sure.
Like, why are you so awful about this? And then she made that show to kind of reclaim that and be like, yep, this is who I am.
Yes.
And you can't make me feel bad about myself.
Yeah, she was one of the first sort of...
Just unapologetic.
Unapologetic about weight gain and sort of realistic about what happened. She became, I think, a spokesperson for Jenny Craig, I want to say.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were a few people who did this. I remember Oprah would sort of yo-yo diet, but... You know, Chrissy Alley was a sex symbol for a period of time. Oprah wasn't like that. Oprah was someone who everyone related to.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, she struggles just like me.
Chrissy Alley was like the hot woman.
The hot woman.
And when she got a little bit older and gained a bit of weight, and she was always a beautiful woman.
Yes.
But people like were just like were cruel.
People get mean.
They were cruel.
They've done
to
it
her.
To Kathleen Turner. They've done it to people who have, you know, just aged. Cybill Shepherd, people like that. But Chrissy Alley, the way she handled it, you're right, with Fat Actress was just in her typical manner, she just took it head on. She's like, I know, I hear the whispers. I know the
and then
mean
she made
comments.
And then made a successful show out of it.
So much
of what she did was so successful.
Yeah, and, you know, the swiftness of this, I want to touch upon before we move on. You know, she was on Dancing with the Stars this year, 2022. So this was why it felt so sudden. There was no sort of long decline that we witnessed. She was very active on social media, as you said.
She's a very vibrant person. Again, even when I completely disagreed with her and thought, well, she's lost her damn mind.
Yes.
Still...
She
was
vital.
Who she was
full
every
of life.
Second. That's why it was just such a surprise. Like, what do you mean Chrissy Alley died? That can't be.
Yeah. It's funny to see sort of how everything softens in death. I mean, all of the tributes are well taken. You know, Chrissy Alley was a controversial figure towards the end in some of the things she said.
Oh, for years.
But
she's
that just
that
sort of melts away. You know, John Travolta had nice things to say about her, obviously. And then even her ex-husband, Parker Stevens.
Yeah.
Just had a loving tribute. I mean, they were married for 14 years. They had two children. The children, sort of posted a loving tribute to her. And that's just what death does. It sort of puts everything in perspective. I'm sure their marriage was fraught at times if they had ended in divorce in 1997, but it just adds that perspective. And it's a really big loss. I think this will reverberate. I think it is something that people really care about. Even if she wasn't sort of top of mind, Kirstie Alley's death is a big deal.
And things do soften when people pass, but even that, like I said, you know, I think you and I both had this sort of affection for her.
Yeah.
And I always have. Even when I completely disagreed with her on things and thought, wow, what a hot take that is.
Yes.
I never like wrote her off. It wasn't like, oh, well, she's gone.
I know.
It never seemed so far afield that I was like, well, I'm done with Kirstie Alley. I can't stand her.
I'm the same way.
I always had sort of an affection for
her. And I can't wait to show my kids Look Who's Talking to Me. It stands up. It's a beautiful movie, but it's not like watching some of the characters who have become problematic, a Woody Allen movie or something. Kirstie Alley was just sort of a
figure.
She's
just someone
she's
I disagreed
character.
With.
Yeah, you disagree with her politically,
she's like,
and
she
that's
was
okay.
like the aunt you argue with at Thanksgiving.
That's right. That's right. She was the loudmouth, brassy aunt, and she'll be missed. She was such a huge voice. And dead at 71, I mean... As we age, it doesn't seem that old anymore.
It
just doesn't seem that old.
She also seemed just like she like stopped aging years ago.
Yes.
Like, I kind of thought of Kirstie Alley sort of 50 for a very long time.
Same. She sort of had a frozen in time kind of look.
Yeah.
So, Kirstie Alley passed away, age of 71. Let's move on to the saga at GMA. Now, I don't think we are... morning show guys, but...
Well, no, we're at work.
Our morning show is out there in the newsroom, but this story has taken on a life of its own. So this is Amy Robach and TJ Holmes had an affair at work. They work on...
They're a couple.
They are a couple. Both of them are separated and have maintained that this was not a matter of infidelity on either part. They were separated from their spouses
when
this started.
They just happened to be going through this at the same time, and it sort of drew them together, which does happen sometimes.
But look, they are on screen together, and this is causing a lot of internal strife and whispers and sort of just an uncomfortable environment, apparently, at GMA. And GMA is such a rosy show. I mean, morning shows, unlike our office, they traffic in like cheerfulness. Hey, we got a cooking segment. We're making pancakes on air. It's all smiles and all positivity to get your morning started.
Especially GMA 3. It's the happy before you go to work version.
Yes. Well, apparently not as happy at work. So they pulled them off the air for a period of time. And a lot of people thought, oh, this is related to TJ Holmes had a separate affair with another woman named Natasha Singh, who's a GMA producer at the show. So they're saying, look, it's not about the situation with Amy Robach, which is ongoing as far as we know. It's not about his past relationship with a GMA producer, Natasha Singh. What we're told is that this has just generally become a distraction at the office. And this is not related to any specific affair, but that there are whispers going on. And this is obviously creating sort of something and an energy at the workplace that we don't want, and we want it to cool off. Now, we're told that Amy and TJ love their jobs and hope that this blows over and that they can continue on GMA. I think we're at a little bit of an inflection point, though. I don't really know how you sort of pull up from this and then they just show up with their morning Joe.
Yeah, and it's going to be even more intense when they come back.
Yes.
The thing that's odd, though, is
because now it all pent up.
They say it's become an internal and external distraction.
Yes, what
meaning
do they mean
like,
by that?
I think they mean, you know, obviously behind the scenes in the newsroom there, it's probably kind of weird.
Yeah.
And that they think it's a distraction, because how do you do the news at all when you are the news?
Yes.
And I get that. But ever since this story came out last week publicly, they were together, the ratings had gone up.
Yep.
Like, a lot. So if you're the producers, yeah, it's a distraction, but it's a distraction putting eyes on your show.
Yeah.
So do you want to keep that?
Yeah, look, I've heard this argument that, look, it's getting huge ratings because people are just interested in watching how they interact. I think those are short-term ratings.
Of course,
that's very important to sort of get those clicks and get those eyeballs, but the long-term health of the show is dependent on it being consistent with its values and its tone, and I think this detracts from that. So while in the short term, yeah, maybe more people are tuning into GMA to see TJ and Amy or see the other hosts talk about TJ and Amy,
right,
and sort of refer to it in various ways, I think it's unhealthy long term. And I think they don't want this. It's bad for the
show. Then you can't take them seriously at all.
Yes. It becomes about them. And that's what they're supposed to be, vessels for the news, right? And Harvey always hammers this, is like, we're out there to disseminate the news. It's not about us, although we banter in the newsroom,
yeah,
and there can be sort of fun asides and you sort of get to know the people as you're with them. And that's important as well. But you don't want every story to be tinged with, oh, those two are doing it in the back.
Yeah, well,
you know,
it's just
a distraction.
It went like, you know, when they on Friday were talking and TJ's like, oh, I don't want this week to end. It's been a great week. It's like, oh, geez.
It was a little bit too much. You know, Jamie talked about it. She was like, they were laying it on a little thick. It was the problem, because they were avoiding the elephant in the room, but sort of winking at the audience. And yes, that's interesting. And I think that's why it got a rating spike, is because they looked at each other and like, hey, Fridays are pretty crazy. And they're not exactly directly talking about it, but they are talking about it.
But then it was just as awkward on Monday when they weren't there.
Yes.
And the other hosts were like, they have the day off. Oh, do they?
Yes.
Like, that was all they said about it. Like, oh, okay.
Here's what's fascinating to me. And I was thinking about it. The morning show is the fictionalized version of these types of shows on Apple TV. Have you ever seen that show?
I never did watch it.
And
yeah,
it traffics it. The reason it's so interesting to people, I think, is because these shows present such a rosy image. Obviously, you had the Today Show with Matt Lauer and Katie Couric. There are no two sunnier dispositions.
That didn't end too well.
How did that one end as
Yeah, not great.
And people love it. They lap up when there is some sort of disconnect between the outward presentation and the behind the scenes. Well, now, with us, I don't think a scandal would ever sort of be as interesting,
well,
because people
one,
think
well,
of
you're
TMZ.
Never going to have an affair, because just nobody would.
Listen, yeah.
I think it's the thing with those kind of shows where it's such a smiley facade,
yes,
like with, you know, Matt Lauer and all the allegations against him, or even just the battle between him and Ann Curry.
Yeah.
Like, you want to go back and watch it again and say, like, oh, can you see that they hate each other?
You want clues.
Yeah.
Whereas the clues that we hate each other are right there.
Oh, yeah. We'll
I mean, I
it.
Clearly don't like a lot of people in our room. I have some fondness for you, although you sometimes have a very sharp tongue towards me, and it's fractured our relationship.
You deserve it.
But it's just interesting to me. I think you'll see these over and over again, because people are complicated and messy, but the shows, GMA, Today Show, are not complicated and messy.
No.
I think you see this also with, like, you know, Extra and shows like that, where it's like, hey, celebrity red carpet. And then you hear things about Mario Lopez and you're like, oh, wow, he really gets after it out there in Vegas. And people love that because they want to see what the real deal is.
Even in like local news.
Yes.
I remember when I was a kid, there were the two anchors. And then he got divorced, you know, in a small town. Everybody knew this. And then there were rumors he and the other anchor were dating.
Yeah.
And then suddenly she had his last name. They got married. And it's like, ooh.
It's huge.
It was a small town gossip. You know, we loved it.
These will always be enduring objects of fascination. On a darker note, like the shows like Hogan's Heroes, you had like a guy in the 60s. And he had this really dark sexual life. And it ended in tragedy. It was a scripted
show
as well,
but
it was also a happy comedy show.
Sure.
And then you would learn more about these people. So anyway, I think the TJ and Amy thing is capturing that at this moment. I didn't care much about them until this.
I didn't know who they were until like a couple of months ago. We got them when they ran the marathon. It was the first time I think I had ever heard of them. But it will be interesting to see how long they're gone.
Yep.
If they come back. And then when they do, what's it going to be like?
I agree. So,
and then the sequel drama will be if they split up. If they come back on the show and they're a couple and then they break up, but they still have to anchor together, Oh, I can't wait to see that.
How does this all, I agree, because you're right. There are so many storylines. It becomes a bit of a soap opera in nested in a morning show.
Right.
Because people are going to be wondering, what is the next step of this? Because, you know, maybe they, you know, ride off into the sunset and they have a very happy marriage.
Possibly.
But, they both had happy marriages at one point, and those ended. So, you know, marriages can curdle and
sure.
relationships
and even, you know, if you know, by their story, if it's true, if like, you know, none of this happened before and just their marriages fell apart independently.
Yeah.
Well, then this is just kind of a rebound from two failed marriages.
That's right.
How long does that last?
Maybe forever.
Maybe.
And no one is.
Sometimes it can.
They do seem like a cute couple. If you take a step back, they do have a sort of chemistry. I've watched more clips of them now.
Yeah.
And there's a certain sort of charm that TJ has. You can see why he's kind of. He's
oh, catchy. He might.
He's
you might be
attractive.
The next hookup. I don't know.
I could be his next. I'm somewhat taken with him. But we'll have to see. We'll continue following this saga because, as I said, it's just an enduring object of fascination.
This is not over yet.
All right. We'll see you guys next time.